I want to draw your attention tonight to Jeremiah chapter 18. The chapter that we read, the 18th chapter of Jeremiah. And I want to point out our text in the verse 17, where God says at the end of verse 17, he says, I will show them the back and not the face in the day of their calamity. I will show them the back and not the face in the day of their calamity. The sinner's doom is our subject tonight, because that is what we have here in our text. God, by this powerful image, is pronouncing doom on sinners in Jeremiah's day. Judah, you see, was so joined to idols. They were so set in their ways of wickedness. They were so hardened to God's word and so resistant to the Holy Spirit that God resolved to give them up into the hand of the Babylonians to be utterly destroyed and to be utterly consumed without remedy. And this is how he puts it. In that day I'll show them the back and not the face. And of course, that doom, the doom of Judah in the days of Jeremiah, was fulfilled. And that doom is also illustrative of the doom that all sinners who behave like the people of Judah will experience. That doom is illustrative of all who remain in sin, rejecting God's grace. This is the end of the wicked. This is what they will face who resist God. This is what God will do to the ungodly. This is what awaits the transgressors of God's law. I will show them the back and not the face in the day of their calamity. So I want to ask the text three questions, and that's how we want to treat it tonight. What, when, and why? What, first of all, what is the doom of the wicked? What is the doom of the wicked? Well, here it is. Now, I want you to remember that the words are God's. It's God that says, I'll show them the back and not the face. The words are God's. The threat is from his own lips. This is the Almighty God. And this is what he's saying. He hath spoken in his holiness, and he'll keep his word. And if he says he'll show them the back, that's what he'll do. That's what he'll do. So they're God's words. The threat is God's threat. It's not man's threat. It's not the minister's threat. It's God's threat. And what he threatens, he does. Just like when he promises, he keeps. Not only are the words from his own lips, but he promises that he will act in a certain way to sinners, in a way that they will know, in a way that they will comprehend, in a way that they will feel when he does it. They'll feel it when he does it. It'll be an awful thing to experience it. It'll send terror and fear into their hearts. He describes how he's going to treat them. And you'll notice he describes it in a twofold way. He describes it positively, first of all. He says, I'll show them the back. I'll show them the back. And then he describes it negatively, secondly. He says, I'll show them the back. And then he says, and not the face. And not the face. So he says, I'll turn around. I'll turn around. And they'll see my back. And they won't see my face. They won't see my face. And so that's how God says he'll treat them. How he'll behave towards them. And we all know what that's like, don't we? On a human level. We all know what that's like for someone to turn their back on us. And not their face. For someone to turn away their face from us We know what that's like. We've all had people that have turned their back to us, and they've turned away from us, and they haven't had anything to say. They've just turned their back, and they've gone, and they showed us their back, and that was it. We've experienced it, and we know what it's like. And maybe we've even done it ourselves. Maybe we've even done it on people. We've turned our back. We had nothing more to do with them, and we've turned our back, whether we did it in good or in bad, whether we were right or we're wrong. We're usually wrong, but we've done it. You've done it, and we've experienced it. And so we know something about what it really feels, and that's why God is using this human action to describe how he's going to treat sinners. He's going to turn the back. He's going to turn away the face. And so we know what this action of God means and how hurting it is and how terrible a thing it must be to experience whenever God does it. It's a dreadful thing. It's a terrible thing. When the sinner in that day will feel this, that God has turned away. He's turned away. It's a frightening thing, actually. This is something you ought to dread. Whether you call yourself a Christian or not, this is something that should send a shiver down your back. The very thought of it. The very thought that God would turn his back and not his face. Now, if God does this, it's a sign of his wrath. It's a sign of his righteous indignation. If God does it, and he says he'll do it, and if he says he'll do it, if God does it, he does it in righteousness. He does it in righteous indignation. If God does it, he doesn't do it in badness. Because, you know, there's no badness in God. But if God is been driven to do this thing, he must be driven to do it in his righteousness. It's a righteous thing he's doing, as we'll see later on. So it's his justice, and he can do it, and he will do it. And it's a terrible thing to experience it. It's even a terrible thing when God does it temporarily to his people, because there have been times whenever God's people have felt that God has turned his back to them. But as we said this morning, when he does that, it's only for a moment. And sometimes God's people have actually said that. He says, why, Lord, have you cast off my soul? And why have you hid your face from me? Lord, you've hid your face. You've turned away your face. I can't see it. And so there are times when God's people experience that the Lord seems to hide his face, and it's just not as in former times. The psalmist David said, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? And time again he said that. Wherefore hidest thou thy face, and forgettest our affliction and our oppression? And Job said it too. Wherefore hidest thou thy face, Lord? And so God's people temporarily sometimes experience this. God does sometimes hide his face, and but that's just for a moment. That's just for a moment. It's never total abandonment. This is total abandonment in our text. This isn't but for a moment. This is total. This is utter and complete. I'll show them the back and not the face. And that's an eternal thing. That's forever. He says, he's done with them. He's finished. They'll never see his face again. His back is towards him forever. This is a permanent thing in our text. But sometimes God's people experience it just for a moment. And whenever that happens, it's terrible. But forever. Forever. God's people experience it on a wee short basis sometimes. And our Lord Jesus Christ, he experienced it, didn't he? On the cross. He experienced it as our sin bearer, because he was bearing our sin. And it was for him the most terrifying aspect of his cross work. You know, he had this treatment from men. The men turned his back, their back to him. And men turned away their face from him. And men hid his face from them, and they smote him. And they didn't see us. He didn't see their faces because it covered him. And men turned their faces from him. In fact, the Bible says, we hid, as it were, our faces from him. And so the Lord Jesus experienced this from men, but he endured that. That wasn't a problem for him. He overcome that easily and meekly and graciously. But it wasn't so easy when he received that treatment from his father, when his father hid his face, and when his father, as it were, turned his back that afternoon, all the lights went out, and the sun went out, and the stars, there was no light. That was a terrible part for the Lord in his agony. And that was the most unbearable part, the part where God turned his back to him and turned away his face from him. That's what made him sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. It was nothing that man could do that made him sweat blood. It was nothing that the devil could do that made him sweat blood. But it was his father's cup. It was his father's back. It was the fact that the father would hide away his face. That's what made him sweat blood. That's why Gethsemane was in agony. That's why on the cross he cried out those awful words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You've turned your back. You've turned away your face, my father. And it was the terrible part of Calvary. And our Lord Jesus knows what that was like. It wasn't man's frown that gave him his greatest agony. It was his father's frown that gave it to him. And that was needful for the removal of our sins. So the Son of God knows what that was by experience. And he was only upheld and sustained through it. He could only bear it and stick it because of the divine nature. He's the Son of God, and his deity was sustaining his humanity, and that was the only reason he could bear that as our substitute. But I tell you this, you see, whenever sinners have to face it, they'll have no divine nature sustaining them to bear it up. It'll be awful for sinners. If it was awful for the Son of God and his divine nature bearing him up through it all, what would it be for sinners whenever they see God's forsaken them? And he's turned his back, and he hides his face from them. What will it be? It'll be terrible. I can't even begin to say how terrible it would be, but it'll be dreadful, and you don't want to experience it. God turned his back to you. This intimates his displeasure. It intimates his abandonment. It intimates that he's given them up. And whenever evils come along and wash them all away, he's just turning his back and he's just letting them wash them all away. He doesn't cure anymore. He just lets them go away. He's turned his back. He's turned his back. He doesn't even see their destruction. He turns away and he just lets them be swept away in the wave of wrath and evil that carries them away. He lets them go. It's awful. It means the ceasing of blessings. God turns away his face, that's it. You have no more blessing in your life. It's finished, it's over. There's nothing to look forward to but evils and plagues and terrible things. When God turns away his face and that's it, it's over. Where God turns his back. A good description of what he means is found in the Old Testament in the book of Deuteronomy. Because he says in Deuteronomy 31 verse 17, then mine anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they'll be devoured, and many evils and troubles will befall them, so that they'll say in that day, are not all these evils come upon us? Because God's not with us anymore. That's what it's like. All these evils flood in. It means the letting in of great evils into one's life. It means that God no longer prevents them and holds them back. It means that God no longer holds back judgment and hell. He just lets it flood in. He turns his back. That's why Jeremiah was told by God, he said, don't pray for these people anymore. Don't pray for them. He says to Jeremiah, he said, even if Moses and Samuel stood before me, he says, my mind couldn't be towards this people. Cast them out of my sight. and let them go forth. Let them go. Cast them out of my sight. Even if Samuel and Moses stood before me, those men of prayer, it wouldn't matter. God's turned his back. And all the prayer in the world is not going to change it. It's awful. I tell you, you don't want to drive God to do that. You don't want to drive God to do that, to turn his back to you. So it's an awful thing. It's an awful thing. And then secondly, when? I've seen what? Showing the back and hiding the face. But when? When is this doom of the wicked? There's a time referred to in the text. In the day of their calamity. That's when. You see, there's a day coming upon sinners. There's a day coming. There's a day of calamity coming for us all. A day of calamity coming for every one of us. When that day comes, you don't want a God who's turned his back to you. You don't. In the day of their calamity. You're going to have a day of calamity. And so am I. We're all going to have to face it. There's a day of calamity and it's coming. It's coming. And we don't want a God with his back to us. But God says, in the day of their calamity, I'll turn my back. That'll be it. It's coming. You know, the wicked may prosper in the world. They may ever do so well. And they may do so well for a very long time. But there's an evil day coming for sinners. It's called a day of calamity. Their day of calamity. And the Bible says a lot about that day. It's a day when sinners will find out, I need God. I need him. It's a day when they'll find that out. But it'll be too late. A day of calamity is coming. A day whenever the wish for God, may not be there. The sinners get secure. They think every day is just going to continue on like this. Oh, it'll be like this tomorrow. It'll be like this next week. I'm doing all right. Sinners think that. And they get secure. And they get set in their ways. And they don't need God. And they have health and strength and prosperity. And everything's rosy. And they think it'll continue rosy. And they think that their pleasures of sin will last for a very long season. And that's the way they think. Job says the wicked live, they become old, they get mighty in power, their seed is established in their sight with them, their offspring grow up before their eyes, their houses are safe from fear, their bull gendereth and doesn't fail, their cows calve, and they don't cast out their calves, they send forth their little ones like a flock, their children dance. Oh, they're really doing well in life. They take the timbrel and the harp and they rejoice at the sound of the organ, they spend their days in wealth. But then he adds, but in a moment, they go down to the grave. In a moment. The day of their calamity. It's all over. And on that day, will it be a God who's turned his back? That's the question. They never think of this moment in a moment. It never enters their mind. Well, my fellow sinners, let us not put it out of mind. We have a day of calamity coming. We're going to die. It's coming. It's appointed. It's certain. It'll be in a moment. It'll be quick. And it'll be a dark and terrible, gloomy day. And you don't want to enter into it without a Savior. And you don't want to enter into it to face a God who has completely turned his back to you. You don't want it. There's another fearful verse in the Bible. This day of calamity, as I said, is often referred to in the Bible. There's a verse, another verse in Deuteronomy, and it says, God says, it's God speaking it, you see. He says, to me belongeth vengeance. Their foot shall slide in due time. In due time. He says, I don't have to get too impatient. I'm not in a rush, he says. He says, in due time, I'll just let the clogs just run on. But in due time, their feet will slide, he says. In due time. For the day of their calamity is at hand. and the things that shall come upon them. So make haste. God sees it, you see. There's a day of calamity coming upon the wicked. They're secure. They're not alarmed. They're treating God like a dog and a football and all the rest. And they're not alarmed. And God just lets them go on. He says their feet will slip in due time. And in the day of their calamity, I'll be there with my back turned. Now that text was preached upon by Jonathan Edwards. It was called the most famous sermon that was ever preached in American history. It's still largely printed today and it's frequently read. And he entitled a sermon on that text, "Their feet shall slide in due time, in the day of their calamity is at hand." The title of the sermon was "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God." A God who has utterly turned his back and turned away his face from them. Whenever their final slip takes place and they go into death and into hell. And Edwards could fairly paint that. So it's a day of calamity when sinners, whenever they shall come before him in all their sin, whenever they shall be stripped of all false coverings of religion and whatever else they've used, but had no sincerity or reality of faith towards him, in a day of calamity it all ends, and they face a God whose back is turned to them. It's awful, isn't it? It's frightening. When? When? In the day of their calamity. Sometimes the word calamity is translated destruction. The day of their destruction. It's not a calamity that they're going to recover from and, oh, they'll be okay then, they'll be recover from it and that'll be it. No, no. This day of their calamity is the day of their destruction. The death day of the sinner is the day of his destruction. The death of a sinner is not like the death of a saint. It's altogether different. When a sinner dies outside of Christ, he goes to face a God whose back is turned to him. When a saint dies, he dies in the arms of Jesus and he sleeps in Christ. And that's part of the joy of heaven, is seeing the face of the Lord. Not his back parts, but his face. Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face. What shall it be? We don't see his back parts. We see his face in that day. That's different, isn't it? And so, when? When? Whenever the sinner will need God most, the day of their calamity, he'll not be there. As God says in his word himself, he says, their calamity shall come suddenly, and they'll be broken without remedy. And he also puts it this way, I will laugh at their calamity. He says, he even says, I'll laugh at their calamity. I'll be regardless. I'll not care. I'll mock. I will mock when your fear cometh, he says. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and he'll have them in derision. That's how he'll treat them in that day. So then there's another question we have to ask. Don't we've seen what God is doing to sinners, and we've seen when he's going to do it. But I have to ask another question. Why? Why does he do it? Why does he treat them this way? Why? Why? Why would God behave thus to sinners? Why would he turn his back to them when they're in their trouble? Why would he hide away his face and be utterly regardless as they're swept away into a lost eternity? Why would he do it? I have to ask that question. And I will give you an answer. Because you see, men and women, a man reaps what he sows. You reap what you sow. And before there was a day of calamity, there was another day. There was a day of probation. a day of grace. There was a day of opportunity when you had life and health and strength and time and years. There was another long day, and God wasn't turning his back. He was turning his face, and he was stretching out his hands, and he was saying to sinners, come and repent and leave your sin and listen to my word and come to me and be saved and get a new heart. There was a time whenever his face still was towards him. He says, all day long, he says, all day long I've stretched out my hands. From the start of their little life till the day of their calamity came, all day long I've stretched out my hands to them. I've stretched out my hands to them all day long. I faced them and I called them and I shouted with my voice and I sent them my prophets rising up early and I sent them out with my word. I reached out to sinners and I called them in the day of grace and I sent out my preachers. And all day long, I held out my hands to a stubborn and rebellious people. Because I called, and ye refused. I stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. And you set at naught all my counsel. And you would have none of my reproof. And you wouldn't receive my word. And in fact, sometimes you cut off my preachers and you kill them. I sent you the prophets and you killed them. I raised up the prophets and you beheaded them. Like Jeremiah, you abused them and you wouldn't listen to my word. And you wouldn't humble yourself under the word of God. And you turned your back to me. You see, they turned their back to God. In the day of grace, they turned away their face. In the day of probation and the day of opportunity. And you see, God turns his back on sinners because that's how they treated him all their lives long. That's why he does it. All their life long, they turned their back from the word. All their life long, they turned away their face from heaven. All their lives, they just had their back toward God. They rejected creation and they embraced evolution. They turned their back on God. They rejected the Bible and they embraced human reason and they turned their back on God. They rejected Christ and they embraced the world and its pleasures and turned their back on God. Sinners hid, as it were, their faces from him. And now when it's the day of their calamity, God does the same. You reap what you sow. If you don't listen to God, he'll not listen to you. If you turn your back to God, he'll turn his back to you. If you turn away your face from the Lord, he'll turn away his face from you in the day of your trouble. You'll reap what you sow. That's why he does it. And this comes out even, Jeremiah, he says this to Jeremiah many times. He says, they've turned unto me the back. They've turned unto me the back and not the face. He told Jeremiah that. That's what the way they've treated me. And now God says, that's the way I'll treat them. They turned their back unto me and not their face. A couple of times God said that to Jeremiah. And so that's why sinners reap what you sow. They reap what they sow. And so what's the lesson, men and women? The lesson is, don't turn your back on God. Never do that. Never do that. Don't turn your back on his word. Don't despise his word. No matter who brings it. No matter what feeble man preaches it. Don't turn your back on his word. Don't treat God like that. Because when your trouble comes, you'll find he'll treat you the same. So that's a warning for us all, isn't it? Whether we call ourselves Christians or not, that's a warning to us all. Treat God right. Treat God right. Seek his face while you have health and strength.
And you've got probation and grace, and then you're in the land of seek his face. Seek his face and his strength every day. Seek him, and don't turn your back to him. Keep on praying. Keep on hearing the word. Keep on reading the Bible. Don't turn your back. Don't turn your back. Let's pray then. Lord, bless the word. Put the fear of thee in us, Lord. The fear of God. Put it in us all. And have us to walk before thee with an open face. And to come to the mirror of the word with an open face. To see thee. And have us never to turn our back to thee. Have us not to be like that people who cast thee behind their back. Lord, save us from that. Save us from that. Help us to walk toward heaven with our face towards the Lord always. So keep us by grace who are thy people, and open the eyes of sinners and show them their wretched state and put thy fear in them and give them repentance and faith for Christ's sake. Amen.